A new poll of people in over 20 different countries around the world shows that most are ready to make personal sacrifices to address the problems posed by climate change. The BBC poll released on Monday suggests 4/5 of the population is prepared to make important lifestyle changes, even in countries like the US and China, the world's two biggest emitters of carbon dioxide, believed to increase global warming. As concern about the effects of climate change becomes more widespread, organisations and individuals are stepping up efforts to try to lessen their so-called carbon footprint and change to sources of energy other than fossil fuels. My colleague Susie Hodges has been taking a closer look at ways in which the Vatican and the Catholic Church at large are playing their part in this endeavour.
Earlier this year, the Vatican hosted its first ever international conference on climate change, and it is also planning to become the world's first carbon neutral state. The Holy See said it had accepted an offer from a climate solutions company to plant a forest in Hungary, which will offset the Vatican's carbon dioxide emissions for 2007. Other green projects by the Vatican include a plan to install solar energy panels on the roof of the Paul VI auditorium, which is used for the papal general audiences. Pope Benedict has on a number of occasions urged Christians to take care of creation, saying lifestyle choices are damaging the environment and making the lives of poor people especially unbearable. In the US, a small number of Benedictine monasteries have been going green for a long time, and more religious orders are now joining the eco bandwagon by installing wind turbines to generate electricity on their properties. One of the pioneers in this regard is the Benedictine Sacred Heart Monastery, located at Richardson in the state of North Dakota. In 1997, the monastery installed two wind turbines to combat escalating electricity bills and protect the environment. Sister Paula Larson is the business manager at the monastery, and she told me how at the time there were many who opposed this decision.
We faced a lot of opposition, and I felt like I was pushing a rope uphill, but it turns out that we are the first people in North Dakota to have a commercial-sized wind turbine. And because of the success of our project, the wind industry has exploded and is expanding in our state.
Now, you said you faced a lot of opposition. From whom and why?
Opposition from our electrical generation company because they didn't think it would work. Opposition from other utilities. Opposition from our persons that provide the energy for our heat.
What was the cost of the turbines and what have been the savings made in terms of lower electricity bills over the past 10 years?
The cost of the turbines in the initial phase was $120,000, and we thought if we could save 25% a year on our electric bill that we'd pay them off in 10 years, and we far exceeded that. Our lowest production has been 25%, but our highest production has been over 50% of our electricity.
So it's already more than paid for itself?
That is correct.
So if you had to work out what you've saved over the past 10 years, have you got a figure there?
I would say that it would be close to between $175,000 and $200,000.
In 2006, a school in Rhode Island run by Benedictine monks gave the green light to a project to construct a wind turbine for generating electricity. Brother Joseph Byron, one of the monks at the Portsmouth Abbey School, was the mastermind behind this project, and he told me more about how it got off the ground.
It was my idea and a fellow who works with me, who's the director of operations. We run a prep school here, and costs were going through the roof, and people said we should be trying these kind of things, and so we decided just to go for it and see what we could come up with.
And did you face any opposition, or were people surprised at first by this decision?
Well, I guess people were surprised. One of the things in hindsight that we did right was that when we first started talking about this, I literally went door to door around the neighborhood and said, you know, people say we should be trying to do these things and we'd like to put one up and we know it's really big. What do you think? And so the neighbors were incredibly supportive of the whole thing, and so was the town, and that made a huge difference here.
Now, I know you've only had it in for a year, but have you got any idea what kind of savings you will make over the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, it's done incredibly well by us. We use about 2.6 million kilowatt hours a year for the school here and the monastery. And we saved about 40% of our total electric load by having the turbine up. So in the first year, when all was said and done, money we saved and money we earned from selling electricity, we earned about $200,000 into the school's budget last year. So if you just keep multiplying that year by year, and it'll do better as the price of electricity actually goes up. So it's done very well and has been very popular.
Both these projects have clearly reaped long-term benefits in terms of lower electricity bills and reduced emissions of fossil fuels. But as both Sister Paula and Brother Joseph explain, there are also theological and ethical issues underpinning their decision to turn to wind energy.
God asks us to walk gently on the earth, and also in Scripture it says that the wind blows where it wills. So we feel that the wind is part of God's creation for us to use to help in his work, and that's kind of how we explain it.
From our perspective here, right specifically here, we live in a really beautiful piece of property, and we've always thought of ourselves as being the stewards of this really beautiful place. And in general, that applies, you know, on a broader range, that we're all custodians and stewards of the place we live in, and we should be trying to take care of it and not abusing it. And so we're kind of putting our money where our mouth is and says, okay, well, here's a way to at least make a step at that one.
So apart from the wind turbines, are there any other ways in which the monks in Rhode Island are trying to preserve the environment and lessen their carbon footprint? Brother Joseph again.
The biggest thing we're doing is, I mean, in general, around the whole place, we're trying to conserve energy as much as we can. We've done a big program of converting to compact fluorescent lights, putting high-efficiency boilers in, motion sensor switches, water-saving devices, you name it. We also, we just built a green dormitory for the school that has a big solar array for heat and hot water on the roof and all kinds of green things in it. So we're doing everything we can think of to try and do that.
Sister Paula believes that the Catholic Church is now doing a lot to promote greater awareness of environmental issues.
I think the Catholic Church is teaching on environment and supporting environmental efforts. It is greatly encouraged. And also, we have encouraged other Catholic facilities in our area to consider wind energy as a means of helping them to financially support themselves.
And, as Brother Joseph points out, we can all play our part in this endeavour to cut down on our carbon emissions.
The biggest thing that we all can do is just trying to conserve what we're using so that we're not kind of hogs and we're turning the lights off and we're trying to use as little electricity as we can and still do the right thing. So, yep, conservation is the biggest thing. And then if you've got space or you've got a big facility, then something like this or solar or geothermal, the other green energy sources, should be looked into. They make sense from a financial point of view as well as from a green point of view.
And all the other monks, went along with this decision? There were no dissenters?
Well, I'm not sure that I would go quite that far. I was saying to folks in the town, my feeling was if I could convince my brethren to do this, I could probably convince anybody to do this. We tend to be a fairly conservative lot. And in fact, there's one funny story. One of the former abbot here, who's quite a funny guy, and in the course of this, he was not quite so keen about it. And somebody printed him up business cards that said MAP, and it was Monks Against Progress. And it was all rather tongue-in-cheek. But in the end, I think everybody's very happy that we've done this.
So are you now called the monks who've gone green?
So, joking apart, these two monasteries' green credentials are now firmly established. And as Sister Paula reveals, other religious orders are now following their example, and she is proud that her monastery was one of the first to go green.
other Benedictines are beginning to do this. We have a monastery in Missouri that is working with a utility and is going to put up a wind turbine on their property. And we have a steady stream of tourists and students who come here for educational programs and to understand how the turbines work.
Do you feel in some ways that you were trailblazers? Because you were going green long before it became more mainstream, shall we say?
Yes, I feel that we were trailblazers, and we are recognized within our state, exactly as you state, as trailblazers.
My thanks to Susie Hodges, speaking there with Sister Paula Larson and Brother Joseph Byron.